Hello and welcome to Sri Lanka 99.94 Cricket Every Day. My name is Mark Machado from the Mirror at the End, and as always, I'm joined by Estelle Vars and Devon from the Puff. Right, you can see I'm choking up because this is not going to be a fun show. Sri Lanka 99.94 is your new home for Sri Lanka content. It will be dropping into your podcast feed on YouTube or the 99.94 app several times every week. So please do rate, review and subscribe. And also, if you get a chance, go check out the Mitch Johnson show. That's where former Aussie Quick talks about his life and cricket. You can find it wherever you get your podcast from. It's on YouTube as well. Thanks for joining Cricket's Conversation. Estelle, it's not been a great 24 hours or so for Sri Lankan cricket, has it? We were full of hope. I was full of boundless enthusiasm after Australia's game against England got rained off on Friday. I thought, do you know what? I think the cricketing gods, they won us. They won us in the semi-final. They're doing everything they possibly can, not letting these boys play, splitting the points, losing all other sides and losing momentum. And I thought it was so obvious. I thought we were going to come through the middle and take it away. It's not to be, though, is it? Yesterday, we're recording this on a Sunday morning in Europe, at least. I know it's Sunday evening for Estelle. We're about 24 hours away since actually almost exactly 24 hours away since the game started against New Zealand. And that was a disaster, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it seemed like everything was going so well. Those first six overs, like things were going exactly to plan. Even after losing the toss, Shanaka got to do what he would have done if he had won the toss. He got to chase. Then the three wickets in the power play, New Zealand 25 for three in the first six overs. Everything was looking so good. And then it all just seemed to fall apart, didn't it? Like, I mean, just like you fell off a cliff, everything just went down.
It was like the collapse of a star, right? Because as a star collapses, it starts off slowly, and then towards the end, it just breaks away, and it happens super quickly, right? I just need to talk about my emotions for a minute, because we came into this tournament, and I was full of hope. I was arguing with Jared Kimber a few weeks ago. I was like, no, I think you've got this wrong. I think Sri Lanka are like surefire in the semi-finals. I think we fear no one. We've got a batting lineup that really knows what to do. We've got bowlers who can take wickets. And we're just about halfway through the group stages. And half, you know, what? We've got six bowlers sent home. We're on like, you know, fair play to Kasun Rajatha. He was brilliant yesterday, but he's what, our seventh choice? Seema? And the batting, oh my gosh. We're going to have to talk about the batting a bit later on because they just lost their heads. There was, you know, obviously people were interacting with us on Twitter, and somebody sent me a comment yesterday. I think it was someone called Sam, and he just said it just felt like Durham all over again.
Yeah.
And I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
What was the mood like in the stadium? Because obviously you were in the stadium. What was the mood like before the game, during the game and after the game?
Yeah, I got there a couple of hours before the toss, and already there were Sri Lankans in the crowd, you know, just lining up to get into the stadium. And of course, you know, when the band's in, everyone's having a good time, no matter what's happening almost. But those first few overs, it was kind of electric. I know there wasn't as big a crowd as you would expect, only 15,000 in yesterday. I think of the 15,000, probably like 14 were Sri Lankan fans. But the atmosphere was like, it was buzzing in the first six overs of that match. It was still good as the match went on because, like I said, you know, Sri Lankan fans have been kind of, we say in Sinhalese, never gilunat ban chun, like, you know what, you know, even if you're in a sinking ship, you're partying, right? And it's been like that even during the after the Australia game. There was kind of a papare party outside, and you know, people are having a good time. So I don't think it like really, I mean, of course it mattered to them, but yeah, they were still having a good time. But I don't know. I don't know how Sri Lanka can kind of explain this kind of performance. I know, like you said, we were like enthusiastic about Sri Lanka's chances, right, coming into this tournament. And I don't think we were wrong to be hope. Like, I wouldn't have said that Sri Lanka were like a sure semi-finalist, but on their day, they can beat any team if a couple of players in that side click. Sadly, Sri Lanka haven't had that kind of game yet, where two, three, four people have played well. Yesterday, finally, we saw some runs from Bhanuka Rajapaksha, but everyone around him collapsed. Similarly, like, you know, against Australia, it was somebody else. I think, I don't know how to explain this kind of performance. You can't say it's a skill thing. I don't think it's a skill thing. It's tough to kind of say that, you know, Sri Lanka aren't as skillful as New Zealand or Australia. But just, they've seemed kind of...
It's purely a mentality thing, isn't it? I think for me, as a Sri Lanka fan, mm-hmm. this is the most disappointing thing, right? Because the whole... maybe I'm totally wrong, but I've always felt the thing that makes Sri Lankan cricket totally different from any other cricketing culture on the planet, any other cricket team, there's two things. It's resilience, innovation, right? It's we will find a way and we will never know when we're beating, right? If you go back and you look at the history of Sri Lankan cricket, it's people trying to stop us playing cricket. And then when we're allowed to play cricket, when we get that test status, it's about trying to find new ways, innovative ways to make the most out of the resources that we have, right? And what infuriated me yesterday was I look at this team, and even with all the injuries we have, I think, do you know what? This is a really talented team. This is a group of 11 men who've got real talent. That, you know, all of these men, if they were any other nationality, if they were Indian, they were Pakistani, they were Australian, they were West Indian, I think they'd be in and around natural selection, right? And then when you come together and you perform that badly off the back of, you know, off the back of what happened in the Australia game as well, where I think in Australia we were like, okay, that's our one bad game. They've got to come back stronger. Mm. And then the fact that they started so well, and then it kind of felt like after Nisanka dropped that catch, that it was a slow march to the bottom after that, right? Like all momentum was lost, and it was like that key trait, that resilience, just didn't show up. And we know that this group of people have it because we've seen them win the Asia Cup and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And that's what I just thought. They needed to dig a little bit deeper. They need to find a way. They need to be more attacking. It infuriates me no end when you listen to the commentary team and the commentators are all saying the same thing. They need to be more attacking. They need to be more attacking, mm-hmm. fielding. And you're like, come on. Surely somebody's saying that. I mean, you look at the brains that they've got in the coaching team, surely someone's trying to run a message on and go, lads, we need to get a wicket, we need to get a wicket, we need to get a wicket. We don't stop. It's got to be relentless.
It's funny because this lack of intensity or the sudden like change is something we've seen in this tournament a couple of times already. I mean, against Namibia, that's what happened. 15 overs, you have them 90 for 5. David Visa also back in the hut, and suddenly they score 160. Netherlands, Sri Lanka almost lost it by, you know, just taking the foot off the pedal when the Dutch were chasing. Australia, the same thing. And here, it seemed like after that six overs, and after the catch went down, like, it was almost like they were just going through the motions, like nobody was... There was no intensity, right? It just felt like everyone was on autopilot, just going through, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's easy for me and you to say, and obviously the players we know are working hard, and I'm not doubting that they don't want to win. But sometimes, I don't know, maybe it's a kind of lack of leadership, you know, beyond the captain. Maybe there needs to be other players going, come on, lads, how do we get back into this game? Right, we've dropped a couple of catches, but the main point is that we got them into a position where we can get them out, right? Let's try and get back to that place again. Let's try and put the pressure on.
And even after conceding 167, that was totally a chaseable target, I felt. If there was somebody who was supporting Rajapaksa in the middle. And like you said, it's mostly disappointment. It's because, you know, even if you look at some of the other games Sri Lanka have played in the batting department, many of the dismissals haven't been based on, like, you know, the bowler is bowling well, and the shot selection has been so strange. And like I said, almost like you're not in the game, you're just like kind of going through the motions. So it's been a weird kind of experience, I think, this World Cup, especially after coming after an Asia Cup victory where they were so intense. I wouldn't say, like, even the Asia Cup, we had a bit of fortune to go all the way. We had kind of, you know, some things that went our way and so helped us get there. But, you know, that's how sport works, right? But there was that intensity and that kind of drive in the middle. I don't know why, but it's not visible now. And it seems like it's something that keeps happening consistently.
It's totally unexplainable in a way. I just can't explain why. And obviously I know pitches are more suited to our, to our players and our skill set in Asia than they are in Australia, but it's, you can take all that away, and what we're both talking about is they just don't have the fight. It just feels like they're just not up for the fight, and that, I think, is the most disappointing thing of the lot, isn't it? Should we take a quick break, and when we come back, let's dissect the bowling, and then later on, let's talk about the batting as well.
You're listening to Cricket's Conversation on 99.94. Whatever your team, we have the show for you on podcast, YouTube, or on the 99.94 app. We have India, England, South Africa, West Indies, and now Sri Lanka covered. If you want to find us, the best way is to follow us on social media at 9994DM by downloading the 9994 app or Google 99.94 on podcast. We speak cricket.
So Estelle, going into it, I was slightly worried because, as we discussed in the last episode, that is also available on YouTube and the 99.94 app, wherever you get your podcast. We felt that there were probably about four overs short somewhere. And the kind of worry was, is what happens if one of the bowlers isn't having a great day? It turns out that Custom Raj that comes in, and actually he was superb from the get-go, and the bowler who wasn't having that good day was Lahiru Kumara. We need to talk about it because, firstly, I absolutely adore the guy. I think he's brilliant. I think he brings amazing energy. I think his spell at Perth was probably the best spell from any Sri Lankan bowler, seamer at least, this tournament. But he just seems to be one of those players that if you can get on top off and get runs off early, then he will continue to concede runs all the way through, and he kind of loses his head a little bit. And I suppose in a way, he kind of just sums up Sri Lanka's day yesterday, right? Because he wasn't able to get himself back into it. Suddenly, Charmica's having to bowl extra overs. I don't know if it was always a plan that DDS was going to bowl as many as he did, but he does. And I think, did he bowl three overs or four overs in the end? I can't remember. He seemed to be the bowler that New Zealand went after. And it seemed New Zealand's plan seemed to work, right?
Yeah, I think the thing with the fast bowlers, and Lahiru Kumara in particular, is that some of them really struggle to bowl in the death. And I guess it comes down to the fact that they don't have a lot of experience doing it. So that's why, I mean, you know, every team has injuries and you're going to have to deal with it. I agree, right? But with Sri Lanka, what's happened is, like, you've got these guys like Chamira, Dilshan Madushankar, who would have given you 3 to 4 overs in the death, right? And then you have your Hasaranga and Teekshana, your wicket-taking options, who you can use in that power play and you can use in the middle overs to get you the wickets so that by the time the death overs come around, you know, you've got a chance to restrict the other team. But what's happening is, and we saw that against Australia as well, with Chanakya being unable to kind of trust his quicks at the death, even Chamika Karunaratne, who was used, I think, a few overs in the past, he's completely been off colour this tournament. It's weird for a guy, he is quite intense and, you know, he's got that energy, but he's just been off colour. Anyway, what I was saying is that, so then you have Chanakya having to kind of reserve overs from Teekshana and Hasaranga to use at the death. And then your wicket-taking options in the middle are kind of gone, right? I know Teekshana has been used in the death before, but it's always been like one over, right? But now he's having to keep two overs off his for between the 15th and 20th over. And so actually it's a huge disservice to someone like Teekshana as well, because what we've seen even in the game against Australia, I think he bowled his first two overs for 3 runs. And the third over, he bowled a Stoinis, went for 20. Similarly, here, I think first two overs, 7 runs or something. And yeah, he went for runs in the latter part of the innings, which is inevitable, right? So those injuries, I think, have really kind of thrown Sri Lanka's plans completely off. But I do think guys like Kumara, now it's time to kind of give him that responsibility. I mean, it's tough. He hasn't played international cricket since March, right? And suddenly he finds himself leader of the pace bowling attack. In that sense, I guess Rajitha has played international cricket recently. He played the invitational tournament before the Asia Cup. You know, he's been kind of in that setup a little bit. So he's had that match practice. But Kumara hasn't. But I think these guys have been in the system for 5-6 years now, right? So it's time to kind of take that responsibility and step up like someone like Chamira did, and even Madhushankar. I mean, he debuted in the Asia Cup, right? So it's time to build those skills, because you can't have one death bowling option. You've got to have 3 to 4 in case somebody goes for runs. So yeah, it's I don't know, it's been a real mess. I know it's been challenging with the injuries, but yeah, still you've got to say, you know, they haven't really, you know, stepped up when it mattered against the big teams.
And the other thing is when you look at that scorecard, New Zealand scorecard, you take out Phillips' century, and they only made like 58 runs or something. Mm-mm. 59, no, 63. Odd runs. 63, right? And you're just like, oh man, if they'd got him out earlier, if that catch had stuck, then that could have been a very traceable total. Obviously, it would have totally changed the way all the other batsmen
came not in. Not only would it have, I mean, of course, it's all, you know, you don't know what would have happened if that catch would have been taken. But you have to think that, first of all, it was off Hasaranga, who's already coming off a bad game. And he's very, very much a confidence player, right? You can see it. Catch goes down, he's on his haunches, right? And everything, I think that may also be something that Sri Lanka need to look at, where they don't let that kind of thing, you know, affect their mental state in a game, because his shoulders go down, and I think the players also feed off him, right? He's Sri Lanka's superstar. He's the big player. So when his shoulders drop and he's, you know, down, and, you know, everybody else kind of almost unconsciously takes their cue from him. So I think, and that's one of the reasons I think it's important to have someone like Kumara or Chamika Karunaratne, who are very like, they show their emotions, like they're fired up all the time, right? But yeah, the entire thing could change like that if that catch is taken. And Hasaranga is then, you know, back with his confidence is back. Maybe he picks up 2 more wickets. He didn't go for runs yesterday, but picked up just the 1 wicket. Similarly, Karunaratne, there's been a lot of criticism that I've seen on social media about him. What is his role, right? Is he a batsman? Is he a bowler? What is his role? But I felt that throughout this tournament, there have been at least three catches I can remember that have gone down off his bowling, off his maybe first or second over. So that immediately kind of, you know, sets him back, right? Yesterday, it wasn't an easy catch to Shanaka, but I think he would back himself to take that type of catch, you know, 8 times out of 10, because he's a good fielder. So little things like that have an impact on so much more than, you know, just that catch and that wicket, which is what I think has, you know, affected Sri Lanka throughout in all the games that we've come second.
His role is definitely to do the dirty work and to get stuck in when no one else wants to, right? They sent him out to bat early yesterday when it was collapsing. I mean, Dustin Charnica plays a very similar role as well for the team, right? When the stars aren't firing, it's basically for those two to try and find something in it. I mean, I think Charmica's bowling doesn't suit Australia at all. I think he was going for too many slow wide Yorkers yesterday. That kind of at some point kind of became quite predictable for the batters to hit. I don't know if he's just been watching too many Lasith Malinga videos where he's always encouraging, well, definitely Sri Lankan seamers to bowl slow wide Yorkers, right? But yeah, I think he's one of those players. Actually, you can go look at his figures, but I don't think you can ever criticise him in too much, because I think he's always willing to put his hand up and go, give the ball to me, I'll have a go, I'll do it, I'll try and do it myself, kind of thing. So there you go. Should we take a quick break? And when we come back, let's talk about the batting.
If you love the language of cricket and want more, then head over to the 99.94 app and you can hear all of our podcasts and cricket commentary. We're adding new shows all the time and covering cricket series from all over the world. Be the first to hear all of our announcements by following us on social media at 99.94DM. Welcome to Cricket's Conversation.
So I got criticised on social media for talking about how Pattern Sunker is our anchor. But actually, he got, you know, and he got out early yesterday. He didn't anchor at all, as did Kusal Mendes, as did DDS, and as did Asalanka. Just when I was starting to think that four were kind of becoming quite dependable, you would kind of would have at least two of them in any given game would get you kind of 30 runs each. All four of them got out, when actually I just felt if we'd had an anchor, if one of them had batted 8, 9, 10 overs, it probably would have set us up for a win yesterday, I reckon. But losing all four of them so rapidly, I think the whole thing fell away. And actually, you know, we can talk about strike rates and we can talk about, you know, not getting boundaries frequently enough. But as I mentioned earlier, innovation and resilience is the way Sri Lanka have conquered the world several times, or at least cricketing world. And that, you know, if we've got to find a new way to get big scores, then so be it. And if that's plodding along at 7, 6, 7 and over for the first 12 before trying to open up and catch it, then that's the way we do it, right? If we'd done that yesterday, if we'd plodded along at 6.5 and over till the 12th over and lost, say, 3 or 4 wickets, we'd have been in a really strong position. It totally fell apart yesterday. And I kind of don't know how to explain it. We talked about it a bit. We talked about the, you know, bad shot selections. What was it like in the stadium when all the wickets were falling, Estelle?
Yeah, it wasn't great. I mean, obviously everyone's kind of come in there hoping for a Sri Lankan win, which I think also you have to say, people kind of look at New Zealand and think, oh, this is a game that Sri Lanka can win or whatever. But you look at their bowling attack. Tim Southee, Trent Boult, Lockie Ferguson, Ish Sodhi and Mitchell Santner. They've got 5 like proper world-class bowlers who can like put any team under pressure. So I think there's a little bit of underestimation, not by the team, but at least by fans, including us maybe, of that New Zealand lineup. But just on Nisanka, I think we spoke about this in the last episode as well, about like the context of, you know, his... You know, the stats aren't, they don't give you the full story as we know, like, I mean, you look at his numbers, they aren't great in terms of strike rates and stuff, right? But like I said the other day, in a chase, I think he can play a really big role, because like you said, if he had stuck around and we'd lost all the other wickets and Bhanuka Rajapaksha was going well on one end, you're still in that game, right? I think what's important now, particularly in T20 cricket, with so many, or like every team has these power hitters at the end, is taking it deep. Take it to the 15th over, even if you have 70 runs to get, right? You can chase that down in the last five. If you've got wickets in hand, if you've got a couple of guys in, I don't think you can really plan that way when you're batting first. It gets a bit harder because you don't know what's a good total. You don't know like what's the ceiling where you should end up with. But definitely with the chase, I think he could have played a big role. And it's weird. Yesterday in the chase, he played a really uncalled for shot, right? When Sri Lanka batted first against Australia, he was very cautious in the beginning and he tried to bat until the 10th over. So it was, I wonder if the kind of criticism he got in that game kind of, you know, worked in his mind and he wanted to kind of get a few big shots in early. But I've always felt like sometimes he's not sure of what his role is and he gets kind of swayed by the opinions of, I don't know what the coaching staff is saying to him, but like because he ideally should be trying to bat long in a chase. Bat long in the sense, not until the 18th over. I think at that point you need your hitters in, but maybe until the 8th, 9th, 10th over. If he's there, then even if Sri Lanka, at yesterday's game, if Sri Lanka were 60 for 3 at 10 overs, they'd back themselves to chase 107 of the last 10, right? So
100%.
Yeah. So I don't know what was going on in his head, because that seems to be a kind of a thing we see like game after game. Like last game he was slow, this game he tried to go too hard too early. So yeah,
it's, as I say, you know, it's just frustrating, isn't it? Because it kind of, I said to someone on Twitter yesterday, I was like, it feels to me like the cake is there and it's baked. It's just the icing, right? It's like, we've got all the resource that we need. We've got the talent, we've got the skill. You look at, you know, you look at the fact that we're losing a bowler every, like, 2 days at the moment, and we're still able to find someone else and come in. You know, we're not having to empty out the press box just yet to try and get people to play for Sri Lanka, but and we're still able to put out world-class talent. And it's just that kind of, I think the fire is there in the belly, it's the ice in the veins, isn't it? It's making the right decision under pressure. I wonder if, you know, maybe SLC might look to get a sports psychologist in, someone to deal with the mental side of the game. I don't quite entirely know how that would work, because I think you can't go and get somebody good from Australia or England, because they don't understand the culture of the players, right? But you need to get somebody who understands the culture. You speak to some people in the game and they say, well, the ultimate sports psychologist in cricket is Mahela Jayawardene, and he's with the team now, right? And he's been working with them for over a year at this stage. And at points we have had that ice in our heads. You know, we keep going back to that Asia Cup win, and it just felt like this is a total cricket side. And then yesterday they just played like headless chickens, didn't they? Who's, you know, they played like children, if you're going to be brutal about it, Estelle, because the minute a catch drops, they start to go on the slide mentally. And then they lose a wicket earlier on, and that leads to another wicket loss early on, then another wicket loss early on. And then before you know it, they were like five down, six down. I mean, I remember if we go back to that England tour, that ill-fated England tour, I remember when they were coming over, I was saying, I'd just be happy if they, the first thing is get to 100. The first thing is bat out 20 overs. The second thing is get to 100. The third thing is making competitive score. I mean, they didn't bat out 20 overs yesterday.
Yeah.
That's terrible. That is just shocking.
Like you said, that tour was the lowest of the lows, right? And then suddenly the World Cup, something changed and everything was clicking. And I know Sri Lanka did kind of gain a lot of that momentum against some of the smaller teams. We didn't really do that well, or we didn't finish things off against some of the bigger teams. But again, you compare the two tournaments and it's almost like we've gone backwards. I mean, last year, nobody would have been surprised if Sri Lanka had performed like this, right? Nobody would have been surprised. Yeah. Just getting through to the main draw would have been enough for most people, because even that was kind of doubtful at last year's tournament. But this year, and I know the conditions are different, but you look at some of the things that have happened. It's not the conditions or the bowling or the batting of the opposition, right? It's kind of self-inflicted, whatever, right? The fielding, we spoke about, you know, controlling things that you can control. And Sri Lanka have dropped catches continuously in this World Cup, and I've made excuses for them. It's cold, it's hard, whatever. Yesterday was not cold. And yesterday the ground fielding
was
also
bad.
The
ball was still hard though yesterday.
It was, but it's harder when it's like, I mean, it's harder to catch when it's cold, right? But yesterday the ground fielding was also bad. And it's weird because so day before the first game in Geelong, we were talking to the fielding coach, Anton Drew, and we were talking about how like the team's fielding is much better now, right? It's grown a lot in the last year. And you have to say the Asia Cup, at least part of it was won because of the good fielding. And then did we jinx it? I don't know. It's all kind of gone since then.
Well, the other thing we should say, right, is the team have been talking about how they're tired, how they think it's unfair that they're having to fly around Australia. Australia isn't a small place. I know you know this as well because you're flying around with them. It's in multiple time zones. It's multiple different weather. You know, different climates everywhere you go, the climate's slightly different. The team are saying it's unfair to do it, and you know, on some level I have some sympathy for it, but that is the job. Right, that is one aspect of the job. I mean, don't misunderstand me, I love and admire not almost every single one of the players who have taken part in this tournament for Sri Lanka. And I think at this stage we're probably about to set a record for the most amount of players to appear for any side in the tournament. But you know, and you know, every job has some pitfalls. I suppose one of the pitfalls of playing for Sri Lanka at a World Cup in Australia is that you've got to fly around the place and it's going to be tiring. And maybe you do look at the schedule and think it's unfair that New Zealand or Australia or the other teams you've got to play aren't flying around as much as we are. I kind of just want to say tough titties, boys. Like, that's just the way it is, right? Like, you're just going to deal with it. There's nothing else. I can, you know, I don't want to, it's flippant to say every person who's ever picked up a cricket bat in the whole world would love to go and play in these magnificent temples of cricket, you know, in Perth, in the Gabba, in the SCG, well, Geelong's not my favourite place, but you know what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
They've just got to deal with it, right? Other teams are doing it. Other teams have done it in the past. It is what it is. You can't put sloppy, you know, when you take to the pitch, you've got to dig deep and find the energy to field well for 20 overs, because ultimately there is millions of fans across the world who are watching you and want you to win. And you should want to win as well. And I'm sure they do. I'm not questioning that at all. But that's it, isn't it? Estelle, let's wrap this up. Before we wrap this up, as I think is quite well documented now, my maths isn't the best. But it's not all over, is it? There is still a heartbeat in the team, right? We can still come back from this, can't we?
There's a very, very faint heartbeat. Well, I mean, it's not completely in Sri Lanka's hands, right? So Sri Lanka have to win against Afghanistan and England, and they'll be hoping there's no washout against Afghanistan, because rains are predicted here in Brisbane for the first. So that's the first hurdle they'll have to, go over. They're going to have to win both and hope that Australia and Ireland drop points against one of the teams who they are playing against. Thing is, Australia is playing Afghanistan and Ireland. So Ireland's route is tough because they've got New Zealand and Australia. England, obviously, if we beat England, then it's going to be tough for them to go through. But yeah, there's a very faint heartbeat, but you'd think they'd have to play much, much, much better cricket if they're going to go past even Afghanistan. We know Afghanistan's got a really good bowling attack. They haven't had enough, two rain outs, so washouts, so they haven't had that much time in the middle. But like we saw in the Asia Cup, they can really push Sri Lanka. They're a good team, not to be underestimated at all. And then, of course, the final game of the group stage against England. Another tough one. And I mean, I don't want to drag this on, but like last year we really pushed them, right? We could have, it was almost like yesterday's game. Like we had them under our feet and then, you know, just couldn't finish things off. So ideally we would have been bringing a lot of confidence into this game, but you know, things haven't really gone to plan in the last couple of games. So there's a small glimmer of hope. But like, I don't know. Let's see.
Well, let's leave it there, shall we? On a positive note, at least, you know, hopefully. I mean, stranger things have happened, haven't they?
Thank you for listening to Sri Lanka on 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast and tell all your friends and family about us. You can download the 99.94 app and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Machado and Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudev1, as in the number one. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day, your way.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.